gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Bharat Petroleum Corporation Q1 FY18 earnings conference call hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. We have with us today Mr. K. Sivakumar, Director of Finance, Mr. R. Rajamani, ED Corporate Treasury, Ms. Teresa Naidu, GM Finance, Pricing and Retirement Benefits, and Mr. Ganesan Jayapal, Manager, Pricing and Insurance. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Dhaval Joshi of Emkay Global. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Joshi.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. I would like to welcome the management and thank them for giving us this opportunity. I would now hand over the call to Mr. Sivakumar, sir, for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Dhaval, Ganesan this side. Thank you, Dhaval. Good afternoon, one and all. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements that we would make during this phone call may be forward-looking in nature, and we believe that expectations contained in such statements are reasonable. However, their nature involves a number of risks and uncertainties that may lead to different results. These forward-looking statements represent only the current expectations and beliefs, and we do not provide any assurance that such expectations will prove correct. Moving on to our financial results highlights, we have ended the quarter Q1 FY18 with profit after tax of ₹745 crores as against ₹2,621 crores for the same quarter last year. Gross under-recoveries on sale of FCOPDS during the quarter were at ₹197 crores as against ₹307 crores for the same quarter last year. Net under-recoveries after accounting subsidy have been nil. Adventitious loss on inventory amounted to ₹731 crores for the quarter as against a gain of ₹1,283 crores in the April to June quarter, April to June 2016 quarter. With respect to physical performance of BPCL, our refinery throughput for this quarter were higher at 6.42 million tons, which is about 3.5% higher due to the incremental capacity coming in from the Kochi Refinery IREP project, which is partially set off by a planned shutdown of around 15 days in MR, Mumbai Refinery. Our weighted average GRM for the two refineries for this quarter stood at $4.88 per barrel as compared to $6.09 per barrel for the comparable quarter last year. After removing the impact of inventory losses, the core GRM stands at $6.95 per barrel. On the market front, we grew our domestic sales volume by around 3% from 9.73 million metric tons to 10.04 million metric tons. The growth was mainly led by petrol around 9.8%, aviation turbine fuel 8.6%, and LPG 11.7%. We are now open for the question and answer round. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Nilesh Ghuge from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, for this quarter particularly, our other operating expenses have gone up to 33 billion and also employee expenses of about 8 billion. So will that be run rate for coming quarter? Hello?
Yeah. Hello. Yeah, this is Rajamani here. Yeah.
Yeah.
So your question was on the other operating expenses, no?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So other operating expenses have increased this time, whatever you in the published results which you would have seen. So there are a couple of things which account for that increase. One is that there has been some increase in the repairs and maintenance, including at Kochi refineries. There is also In terms of the LNG consumption in Kochi, that has increased after the new units have come. Now the issue is, it's a presentation. As far as LNG is concerned, it comes in the DRM workings, but as far as the presentation goes, it will be part of the other operating expenses. So that's another factor which has contributed to the increase. Apart from that, there are a couple of other areas like safety, rent and all that, where there has been some increase. So all in all, if you take out that LNG, which will be about 100-120 crores, the balance would be the expenditure which is truly reflective of the other operating costs.
Also, employee expenses also?
See, employee expense, as you would recall in our results which we gave for the quarter ending March last year, that is, so we had said that there will be an increase in the, we have made a provision on account of the pay revision which is, which was due from January. So that has come as a separate item last time, and now it is part of the regular employee cost.
So going ahead, will that be, I mean, this 8 billion will be the run rate for per quarter?
Salaries?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, salaries more or less will be this run rate, but you also have to factor into account what we have said as a pay revision is for the officers, where the public sector pay revision was due from 1st of January. Going forward, maybe not this year, early next year, the revision may come due for the, the bargainable staff, the unions and all that, because their cycle is also a 10-year cycle, but that is not coinciding with the officers. That comes somewhere next year. So to that extent, there will be a variation. Otherwise, this is the run rate.
Okay. And sir, any update on our Mozambique development?
As far as Mozambique is concerned, there are three things. One is about the constitutional guarantees which has to be given by the parliament. There has been good movement as far as that is concerned. All the legal frameworks has been done, and it is in the final stages of approval by the authorities. And once that is completed, then the FID process will be is in progress with the banks. And third component is the FSAs which has to be entered with the various customers. Many customers have been tied up by the lead Anadarko as well as Mitsubishi. And then the other ones, the process is on.
Okay. That's, thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Nitin Tiwari from Antique Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. Just a couple of bookkeeping questions. Can I get the GRM for Mumbai and Kochi refinery separately? And also refinery margins of Bina and Numaligarh refineries for the quarter?
Yeah, 1 minute. Mumbai is 6.08. This is, I'm saying, after considering the inventory losses, and Kochi is 3.74.
This includes the inventory losses?
This is after, considering the impact of inventory losses.
Right, right. And the numbers for Bina and Numaligarh?
At the cost of repeating, 6.08 is, after factoring in the inventory losses.
Okay. Right. So basically, inventory loss is not excluded from that.
Exactly. That's the impact of inventory losses is there.
Right, right. Okay. And so the refinery margins for Bina refinery and Numaligarh, and as well as if you can give the PAT number and PBT number for Bina.
So Bina, the after considering the impact of inventory losses, they have done GRM of $8.9 per barrel, and the profit after tax for the quarter is 146 crore. As far as Numaligarh is concerned, without considering that excise duty benefit, a $7.5 per barrel GRM, and profit after tax would be about 371 crores.
Right, sir. Sir, my second question is related to diesel sales and also to your market share. So if, my assessment is correct, perhaps, the diesel sales growth for BPCL was again not very robust in this quarter, as compared to even other oil marketing companies. So what reason can be attributed to that, and how are you looking to address that? One is that, and second is basically your market share currently in the petrol and diesel market.
So as far as this quarter performance is concerned on the retail, if you look at petrol, we have grown by 9.8%, which amongst the three OMCs is the highest. But in terms of diesel, although we have grown, the growth is, as compared to the other two, slightly lower. We have grown by around 1.9%, whereas the other two have, in the public sector space have grown by around 3 or just under 3%. So yes, there is an impact there, so which we had said the impact was there last quarter also, where our fall in sales was much higher than the... So, yes, there has been an impact as far as our highway volumes are concerned, which is reflecting in the lower growth. In other segments of the market, we have been growing. But highway is something which we are trying to now address. Work is on. And a couple of things which probably Mr. Shivakumar would like to just elaborate on what is being done and which we hope will turn around the position.
And basically, Rajamani said about the, we are now concentrating heavily on the highway front. So various initiatives are being taken. Some of them, a few of them, I would like to say that we are engaging with all the stakeholders in a far more effective manner after this fall. Then the look and feel of the outlet, you will see a major change as far as the look and feel of the outlet. A lot of efforts is being done. And then Q&Q assurance will go to a completely a different level. And a lot of activities is being done on the ground. And one of the things which we are concentrating is, we have since we are the commodity trade, service should be the differentiator. Therefore, consistent service is one thing which we will be aiming at all our highway outlets. Pricing also, some strategic pricing is being looked at and it is being implemented on the ground. And there are some infrastructure grabs which we are addressing. Therefore, there is a multi-pronged attack that is being done as far as the highway segment is concerned. And one more thing I want to add in the end is, the loyalty offering we have completely revamped. And in a couple of days, it will get rolled out, which will be integrated with automation.
Right, sir. Right, sir. Like, you fair, these are, like, you know, all very fair efforts, and, like, you know, I wish you all the best in terms of success also. But, like, what Fox says is that historically, BPSL has been sort of the market leader in terms of growth, and it's actually, like, you know, sort of a surprise to see BPSL not growing as much as the other two companies are growing, because I'm sure all these efforts are also the efforts which would be undertaken by your like, you know, sister concerns as well, which is IOCL and HPCL. So I mean, like, you know, what we are not able to see is that, like, you know, where is the challenge which is restricting BPCL? Is it, like, you know, infrastructure challenge, or, like, you know, what are the key sort of things which are restricting the growth as such?
No, yeah, you are right. These are things what Shiva was speaking about, more of qualitative thing. But the, I would like to just come back to the main point which I said right at the beginning. The issue which is which we are facing is, we were traditionally very strong on the highway front, and that is something where a lot of this competition has happened, and both private and public sector. So that's something where over the last couple of quarters we have had a hit which is reflecting in the numbers. So as Shiva was talking about, now there is a separate focus on this particular area of the market. If you were to look at the segments, the other segments, I mean, excluding highways, is not a cause for concern, but obviously diesel is something where the highways constitute the major segment. So we are working on it. We expect over the next couple of quarters, the whole trend to be sort of brought back to what it was earlier.
Fair enough, sir. And your market share lastly, sir, in petrol and diesel right now?
Petrol and diesel, amongst the PSUs, our retail petrol share was 28.81%, as against 28.51% last year. And in the case of diesel, it is 28.56% against 28.84% last year.
Thank you, sir.
Corresponding period, I'm talking life to life.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Sabri Hazarika from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Sir, I just wanted to confirm, you mentioned that your core GRM was around 6.95 for Q1 FY18.
Yeah, absolutely. The 4.88 was what we had reported, and there is an inventory loss element of 2.07. That takes it to, I mean, that's the impact. You can do your numbers okay there.
So what would be the core GRM for MR and KR?
MR after considering inventory loss, as I responded to the earlier question, was at 6.08, actually the inventory loss there is about 1.55, so that will take it to about 7.63. And in the case of Kochi, the stand, I mean, after considering inventory loss, it was 3.74. So if you factor in the inventory loss, which was about 2.4, so it should be about $6.15 per barrel.
Okay, sir. Now, so you posted an inventory core GRM 6.95 in Q1 FY18. So do you have the corresponding figures for FY17 annual and FY16?
That we can...
we can work out and give you later.
Yeah, we can work it out. But broadly speaking, Q on Q, we will need to just...
we'll work out and we'll...
See, the reported GRM last year was 6.09 for... you are asking for the
corresponding,
corresponding number of 2016-17.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the... reported GRM was 6 for Mumbai,
yeah.
And the if you were to take out the inventory gain, which will be about 1.95, so that will give you the balance as the core GRM. Similarly, for Kochi, the reported GRM last time was 6.20, and the inventory gain was somewhere around about 4.21 something.
Okay, 4.21 was the inventory gain in Kochi, and 1.95 was the inventory gain in Mumbai refinery last. 2.95 was the inventory gain last year in Mumbai refinery. So, sir, which brings me back to the next question. Basically, if I look into Q1 FY18, so you have done a very significant growth in the core GRM. So, and this has been the case with the other two OMCs also. So, what is the reason behind such good core GRM? Has there been anything on the crude sourcing front also which has like benefited you?
The crude sourcing, the planning of the logistics, all those are an ongoing process. As we keep saying that the refineries do track the Singapore crack, so it's a function of that. Having said that, in our case, we would like to add is the IREP units, as we have been saying for the last couple of quarters, the Kochi units are now coming on stream. And as the secondary units are coming into operations, obviously, the product slate is bound to improve. So that is one thing. Secondly, even in Mumbai, there have been a couple of projects which have got commissioned this year. Basically, the ISOM and that NST, those have got commissioned. That gives you a better product slate with focus on petrol and diesel. So all this would be factors. But at the end of the day, obviously the one that will be the primary determining factor would be the cracks which are prevailing.
Right. So actually we come across a lot of news on the share of spot crude purchase going up, and there's been some news of like higher allocation of cane crude also among refineries, cane Rajasthan crude. So anything on that front also which is supporting GRMs?
I wouldn't... imagine that would to have any significant. Yes, there could be some sourcing changes and all, but allocation or changes thereof of cane or anything like that should not have a significant impact.
Okay. Okay, sir. Fair enough. Thanks a lot.
Q. We take the next question from the line of Mayur Patel from DSP BlackRock. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Just I have a couple of questions. First, on this increase in other expense which you explained, apart from that LNG factor, is there any other amount or any other factor which could be attributable to the Kochi stabilization and which will go away once the Kochi is running at 100%?
No, Mayur, it's not about anything going away, but as the units, as I said, no, the stabilization process is on. But as the units have got commissioned, some of the expenses have already being incurred. But the real efficiency of those costs will come once all the units are running at full tick. So to that extent, whatever increase in the Kochi OPEX has happened, I don't think there will be any case of any significant increase beyond that in the coming quarter. But definitely as the units utilization increase, then definitely that... a generation of additional income should follow. So, for example, the coker unit is already running, for the last one and a half months. But as we are now gradually shifting to processing the 100% high sulfur crude, and the FCCU will be commissioned in the next few days, obviously the utilization of the coker would increase the percentage. Today, on an average, 50 to 60% is what it is running. So the expenses, however, whatever is the operating cost and all that, has got booked in the current quarter.
Sure. So, sir, when now should we see, Kochi reaching 100% level?
So as far as Kochi is concerned, all the units have been commissioned, and the except Petro FCCU, which is expected to get commissioned by the end of the month. With that, the entire sequential commissioning of IREP project is completed. And then it should operate at maybe around 70-80% in the Q2, and in the Q4, we expect it to operate at 90%+. And these are new units, and that is what we expect. And the robust GRMs are expected from Q3 onwards.
From December quarter onwards?
At December quarter onwards.
Okay, fair enough. So just two more questions. First on this U.S. oil sourcing, where are we currently, and when should we see, cargoes becoming meaningful, and how much in the mix can ultimately, if the, discount to the other benchmarks are attractive, then just want to take your comments on that.
Mayur, the sourcing from the U.S. is something which we have just about started. We expect the first shipment to come somewhere in October. And there is beyond that, there will be one more which will be in the pipeline. But that will be something which we will be processing in Kochi for the first time. And thereafter, depending on how the processing happens, and thereafter how the prices move, we will take a call. But my feeling is, to begin with, we will be sourcing it for Kochi, primarily because, we will be using VLCCs for that, and Kochi is a place where they need the quantum given the processing capacity which they have. And therefore, to begin with, we are doing these two shipments, and then we will see thereafter how to... So anything beyond that, I would imagine sometime in November, December.
Okay. And what kind of discounts are currently prevailing in U.S. oil as compared to, say, Brent or Bonelite?
As of now, it is more... despite the logistics cost involved, it still is a reasonably... it is like-to-like comparison. We will have to see as we go along. These are at one level... couple of trial cargoes that we have done.
Sure, sir. I'll come back for more questions. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Amit Rastogi from UPS Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. I just wanted to understand that when we are importing crude from Middle East, or what changes in the crude mix we have brought in our refineries over maybe last quarter or last 6 months, if you can just give some highlights on that.
Amit, the changes per se is, a gradual shift to the high sulfur crude. Earlier the focus was, the larger percentage was on the lighter crude. In Kochi particularly, the shift has been towards the heavier crude.
Kochi was natural because you were upgrading the refinery.
Yes.
I'm referring to mainly Mumbai, because in Mumbai also now we are processing almost 14 to 15 million ton annually.
Yes.
Earlier we were at 11 to 12 million ton.
Correct.
So what kind of these 3-4 million ton additional crude which has come in, which kind of crude it is, or we are trying to understand that earlier we were at between $5 to $6 reasonable GRN. Now if you see in this quarter, we have moved to $7+. Without any inventory losses. So we are trying to understand that what changes we have seen in terms of crude sourcing, which has led to this improvement in GRM. Because product spreads are largely stable, Singapore GRMs were flat on a QOQ basis.
No, in Mumbai, in terms of the mix between light and heavy, there has not been a significant change. Because in the case of Kochi, there was a slight reduction in Mumbai high allocation also, which is not the case in Mumbai. So therefore, in the case of Mumbai, I am not too sure whether we have had any significant or any change at all in the light and heavy percentages as we have seen in Kochi. But beyond that, I'm not, because see, Kochi in Mumbai, if I were to get into high sulfur and all that, the facilities for processing the heavier ends is something which we don't have. So the light and heavy mix in Mumbai remains more or less the same.
Okay. And sir, also you have elaborated on the Kochi refinery progress. Can you give us some more details that which units have been completely commissioned? Like you mentioned, coker is operating at 50 to 60%, and which units are yet to be commissioned, and then what throughput we are looking at? Because if you see our throughput for this quarter is actually lower than the throughput of maybe two quarters back.
No. Lower throughput is of Mumbai because they had a 15 days of shutdown of some of the units, which are the regular maintenance shutdown. So that is something which is attributable. But Kochi has not had any shutdown. In fact, just since you are on the topic, Kochi will be undertaking some shutdown this month, which is again a couple of units in the maintenance shutdown will be there till the end of this month. So the lower throughput that you are talking about is primarily in Mumbai because of the planned shutdown that was there. As far as the IREP is concerned, Mr. Shivkumar will just like to just give you an update. What is happening and what are the units pending? What is the single unit that is still left for commissioning?
As far as the IREP is concerned, you know it, we have gone in for sequential commissioning. All units have been commissioned except Petro FCCU, which is expected to get commissioned by the end of the month. With that, all the units of IREP have been completed. So we expect in the Q3, it should operate around 60 to 70%, it will operate. And the last quarter, we expect between 90 and 100% the units will operate. And robust JRMs are expected from the Q4 onwards.
Okay, so only it's a PFCC unit or
Petro
FCCU unit. All other units have got commission.
Okay, and sir, what is the status of our chemical project?
Petchem, that's going on. That's
Petchem project, it is at the cost of around 4,500 crores. It is a Make India initiative where all the three petrochemical products which we are going to do are presently being imported 100%. And it is going on schedule, and the expected date of completion is December 2018.
December 2018?
Yes.
Okay. And sir, which are those three petrochemicals?
Oxo alcohol, acrylate, and acrylic acid.
Sir, acrylate, acrylate acid, and third one is?
Oxo alcohol.
Oxo alcohol. Okay, sir. Yeah. Thank you a lot, sir.
Hello.
Yeah, thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mithil Nadia from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. You mentioned that our core GRMs this quarter were about $1, and cracks have improved further in quarter two over quarter one. Say about $1 incrementally can come from there. And,
excuse me, sir. I'm sorry to interrupt, but your voice is not really audible. Requesting you to please speak a bit louder.
Sure. Hello.
Yes, you may please proceed.
Yeah. So we mentioned our core GRM was about $7 in Q1, and spreads being better in Q2 should add about $1 to our GRMs. And then in Q4, we will see the benefit of the IREP come through as we just discussed. So spreads being what they are currently, as we hit quarter four, the sustainable level of GRM for BPCL should be $9 a barrel. Is that a fair assessment?
It will be robust GRMs. You don't want to commit any number as such, but definitely it will be the robust GRMs is expected from Q4 onwards once IREP operates in full capacity.
So this is sort of mathematical to the extent that there were some benefits that you were expecting out of the IREP, and there seem to have been some improvements in the operations of the refinery itself, which is why the core GRMs have been so robust in a not so good environment. So we are just trying to understand, when the environment becomes better, will we see close to, and not, I mean, I'm not saying nine as in nine, but whatever, 8.5 to 9.5, is that a good level of GRMs that you can see if Fed sustain at the current level in quarter four?
Actually, rather than putting a number on it, what we have been saying right throughout is that once the IRP, all the units are commissioned and they are up and running, they should be delivering a margin which is about $2 higher than the baseline. So depending on where you like to see the cracks, we expect IRP to deliver better than that by around $2 over that. So that's the way we are looking at it, rather than looking at any individual number.
So that's precisely what I did. So $2 to the Kochi throughput, let's say about $1 to our entire throughput. That's what I added to the 7 plus 1 from higher cracks plus 1 more from the IREP. That's how the 9 number was being done.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm only saying that we are not putting a number. Only thing is, as Mr. Shivakumar has been saying, with the commissioning of the FCCU, we would have commissioned all the units, and we expect them to start operating, in the third quarter at around 70-80% levels, and thereafter in the fourth quarter at full levels. Once they start operating consistently at that 90-100%, then we should be seeing that increase in the GRM levels.
Okay, and if quarter one sort of cracks prevail, we have a fair degree of confidence in being able to report a $7 GRM without any inventory volatility. Is that a fair thing to take as baseline? Or do you think quarter one had some elements which you're not very confident of recurring by the time we hit Q4?
No, I think we didn't get your question. We didn't.
So you said quarter one GRM of core GRM of $7
in Mumbai,
6.95 total.
Yeah,
total core you said was 6.95.
That's right.
So it is. Should we take that as a reasonable indicator of sustainable refining performance now? On assuming that cracks remain what they were in quarter one, is that, or do you think there were elements in quarter one GRM which you may not have confidence or visibility into quarter three, quarter four?
I don't think there should be any such because whatever we spoke about the quarter one core GRM, that's something which we expect to continue. Of course, something which will depend on the market. So if everything remains okay, we are reasonably confident that that is something which we can sustain.
Great, sir. That would be quite a substantial improvement from what we've seen in the past. So congratulations, and I wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Prabal Sen from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Just staying on the GRM front and, just trying to understand my numbers. You mentioned that the, utilization that you expect is going to be 80-90% from the newer unit. This was said specifically for the FCC unit, or for the refinery as a whole, we expect 90% utilization after expansion by Q4.
No, Prabal, what we were saying is that the FCCU unit is in the process of being commissioned. We expect that the commissioning activity to be completed maybe by the end of the month.
Right.
Okay, so that is the last major unit of the IREP project which is waiting for commissioning.
Sure.
Our units have been commissioned. They have been commissioned over a period of time, and they have started operating. In fact, the crude distillation units is already running at 100%.
Right.
But what is very important is all these secondary units, because only then the refinery as a whole will start operating at 100%. Mm-hmm. So what Mr. Shivakumar was talking about, that 60 to 70% in third quarter and then 90 to 100 in the fourth quarter is the integrated operation of all the units put together. Because even after commissioning, it's a gradual process by which the operations are scaled up. So FCCU, right, having been commissioned in August, will not start running at 100% straight away. It will be a process by which they will scale it up. So the 90 to 100% in the fourth quarter that he spoke about was for all the units in an integrated fashion.
So just to try and understand, essentially what you're saying is the CDU anyways is pretty much ramped up for the expanded capacity, but the CDU plus the secondary processing units are running at full tilt by the end of Q4.
No, CDU is ramped up, it has run at 100%, but for them to run continuously at 100% needs all the secondary units to be running.
Right.
So otherwise it doesn't make sense, because the whatever has to be processed in the secondary units, if there is no facilities available, then they will be forced to sort of curtail operation. So therefore they have to run the CDU in line with the available capacity of the secondary unit. So while the CDU has been ramped up, tested out at 100%, once the FCCU comes, then it will start operating consistently at 100%. That's the point which we are making. And the same holds good for the other units also. So FCCU, once it comes and stabilizes, integrate, then we should be seeing that 90-100% operations of all the units put together.
Right, sir. And sir, on the Mumbai refinery, you mentioned that there was a sort of a shutdown due to which throughput has been lower. Can we therefore expect the run rate of 3.5+ million tons per quarter to come back from 2Q?
Yeah. I mean, whatever was that was a planned shutdown of the unit.
Right.
And now that it is over, so they will bring back that, even the slightly lower throughput should be made up in the coming days.
Okay. So can we just get a bit of housekeeping, in terms of the capex guidance for this year and next year, broken up into, the segments like you generally do?
So 7,800 crores is what we are planning as the capex for this year, that is 17-18, and it's likely to go up to around 8,500 next year. So broadly, this is the total numbers. Obviously, this includes some amount of the regular capex that we have in the upstream side, not the Mozambique or anything, but the regular. So that will be about 1,500 and 1,200 for this year and next year. So the balance is what pertains to the BPCL. And broadly in that, if I were to give a breakup over refining broadly will include the petrochemical project which is currently on.
Right.
In terms of refining, this year we should be seeing somewhere around about 1,300 to 1,400 crores. This is the new projects. There will be some amount of the maintenance capex in refinery. The balance would be in terms of the marketing project. So all in all, for this year, around 6,000 crores is what is for BPCL. Added to that will be the upstream, which will be 1,500. So we have about 7,800. The same number in the case of next year, the refinery will see a slight increase because two projects will take a fairly large amount next year. One is the petrochemical project where we expect to spend about 2,600 crores next year, that is 18-19. And also we would be getting ready for the for petrol in Kochi for BS6, so that will be about 1,200 crores. In Mumbai, the expenditure should not be significant, but in Kochi, only for petrol, we should be having a spend of around 3,500, out of which about 1,200 will be next year. So broadly, this is the, there will be, of course, some maintenance capex in addition to what I said about this major projects in refinery. Otherwise, the balance will be all in marketing.
And sir, how much have we spent in 1Q, or is this anyways capable?
About 1,500 crores.
1,500 crores has been spent in 1Q.
Yeah.
1,500 to be precise.
And sir, any update you can give us on that mega refinery that keeps getting talked about? Any progress there, or is it still roughly at a very preliminary stage?
As far as mega refinery is concerned, it is It is a joint venture with three partners, IOC and HPC. IOC taking 50% and BPC HPC taking 25%.
Right.
And land acquisition process is on. MIDC is the coordinator. And the other legal formalities of forming the joint venture, etc. is in progress.
Sir, is it fair to say, therefore, we don't really see significant capex being spent on it, maybe before FY19 in the best case?
See, once the land acquisition process is completed, then we will have some visibility on the capex. So, as of now, the focus is on the land acquisition and related formalities. In the meanwhile, all that it is required for the JV to be set up and all is being completed. So we will have an idea in terms of the capex and the timing of it after the land acquisition process is coming to a close.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much for your time. Thanks.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, please limit your question to 2 per participant. Next question is from the line of Raj Gandhi from Sundara Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks a lot for the opportunity, sir. So just here, this quarter we had IOC clarifying that, you know, in a falling oil price because of the RTP adjustment, there is few gain in the GRM. So, you know, versus, let's say, if you just were to mathematically add up the reported GRM plus the inventory loss, as you mentioned, you know, there is some RTP adjustment, like, because in their case, you know, versus that headline number of 7.7, which is reported plus inventory loss, versus that, the core current price GRM was 6.4 is what they disclosed. So any such adjustments in your GRM?
No. At the outset, I'm not very sure about what the calculations they are talking about.
Okay.
Having said that, if you are saying it's current price GRM, we haven't done that exercise. Because if it is current price GRM, I would imagine it is more of a, you know, reworking of the GRM, keeping in mind the current price of crude and the current cracks that are available. But that's an exercise which we have not done.
Okay. But fair to say that this core GRM of $7 in a falling oil environment will have some gain because RTP is calculated around 15-day average versus spot. So in a falling crude price environment, it will have some benefit?
See, in our case, the RTP is worked out with a time lag of around 13 to 14 days. So in a falling environment, definitely in the following quarter, there will be some impact. So if I were to take that into account and calculate what would have been the GRM if that prices had prevailed, there will be some, and it can work both ways. In a falling environment, it will move in one direction, in a rising environment, it will be in another direction. So that's an exercise which we have not done. Maybe we'll try and figure out what is it that IOC had spoken about, and then we will try and see whether we can do something in the coming quarter.
Okay. And sir, just given that, you know, as you mentioned, you had a higher run on maintenance shutdown, plus I think Kochi will have some pre-operative expenses hitting your profitability. So would it be possible to highlight what was the OPEX for the quarter, and on a normalized run rate, what is the OPEX that you expect?
See, in terms of the OPEX for the current quarter, Kochi had an OPEX of around 1.75, 1.8 dollars per barrel. This is, I'm talking about the operating expenses.
Okay.
So that is something which, this is without depreciation, of course. This is without depreciation. So that should be more or less around these levels, maybe a slight increase. That's about it. Because most of these operating costs have already come in. So we would think that the OPEX in Kochi will be somewhere around the $1.75, $1.8. Added to that would, of course, be the depreciation cost. And Mumbai will also be somewhere around that 1.8 or so, because there is that manpower cost increase which has also come. That will also be there for Kochi. So I would think that OPEX should be around this 1.8, 1.9 levels is what we expect. But next quarter, I think we should have a better clarity in terms of how much would be the OPEX in both the refineries.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Rakesh Sethia from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello. Yeah, Hi, thank you, sir, for this opportunity. Sir, two questions. First, if you could give us some sense on how the marketing margins have prevailed, you know, especially in the non-retail fuels. Has there been any material decline in the margins compared to what we've seen in the last quarter? Has there been a quarter-on-quarter decline in the non-retail fuel margins? And secondly, sir, housekeeping questions on what is the position on consolidated debt, and if you could split out between E&P segment and two JVs.
Okay. Rakesh, there has not been any significant change as far as the margins of the marketing margins are concerned. If I understand you correctly, your question was with particular reference to non-retail, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So as far as we know, there has not been a significant change. There has been some, definitely some impact. I'm not saying it is not there, but that has come more in two scenarios. One is where some of the contracts have come up for renewals. There has been some impact as far as the, the terms are concerned, so which has had an impact on the margin, but that is not too many. The second thing which is there is in the case of lubricants, just before the GST coming in, there has been some impact because some of the products had to be sold off before the advent of GST, so there has been some amount of discount. But again, if I were to sum it up both, that will not have been very significant. So therefore, we have not seen any quarter-on-quarter change in the margins of other than retail business.
Okay, and in the retail business, you know, have you seen margins, decline either on quarter-on-quarter basis or, let's say what they used to prevail over last four quarters? Because, what I'm trying to get my head on is, if we look at your marketing, performance, just by backing out the, OPEX, assuming $1.7-$1.8 per barrel, that number has gone down, significantly, let's say, comparing from the previous four quarters. And, previous four quarters, the numbers used to be even better. So just wanted to get a sense, is it that, the discounting is impacting more, or are there any cost increase at the pump level? I'm just trying to understand, what is it which is leading to this margin sort of going down?
There would be some impact of the on the margins which is which would be there on the retail products, but again, how significant it is, I'm not too sure, because there has been some impact after the daily pricing, because if you see, from the time we introduced daily pricing across India, the trend has been on the downward trend. So to that extent, what is happening is that there will be some impact on the margins, primarily because the refinery transfer price change happens once in a fortnight, and the retail selling prices are being changed on a daily basis. But that is not, that is something which is expected to even out over a period of time, because the direction will be downward if the prices are going down, and vice versa. Like in the first fortnight, the prices have gone up, so it's something which I don't think, if I were to take it over a longer period or time frame, will have any major impact. Other than that, there has not been any impact as far as the retail margins are concerned. Still, I'm not saying that it has gone up, neither am I saying there has been any reduction as such. So we are still in that 1.7 to 1.8 levels only, as we were earlier.
Okay, sir. And secondly, the question on the consolidated debt, what level we are now?
So the debt, as far as, before I come to consolidated, BPCL standalone, the short-term debt, which had spiked in the March quarter, that's come down by about 5,000 crores. So the the debt for BPCL, both long-term and short-term put together, as of 30th June, is about 17,900 crores. As far as consolidated, let me just see if I have that number. Rakesh, can I give you that? I don't have that because I need to look up the BORL. Only BORL will be something which will be...
I'll take it offline, no worries, sir. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Amit Shah from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just one question. If just trying to understand, you know, because the Kochi refinery impact on GRMs has been going on for 2-3 quarters now. So hypothetically in this quarter, you know, seeing the inventory loss, and I don't know if you guys have done this calculation, but if things were normal and Kochi was running at the expanded capacity, what kind of GRMs could we have expected?
Yeah, Delta $2 you can take it.
No, no, Amit, you are asking about the inventory loss or what?
No, not inventory, just if Kochi expanded full capacity was running in this quarter and seeing how crude has moved, what would be the GRM, you know, considering everything was up and running as today as compared to what it would be in Q4?
See, it's very difficult to give a number, but I can tell you what is happening is that the crude throughput is one part. But as I said, in the absence of the secondary units, the slate that they have or the capacity that they utilize, both are impacted. So, for example, the naphtha production there is higher than what it would be once the FCCU and the ISOM units are fully running. So to that extent, the naphtha increased output is something which will have an impact on the margin and which is seen in the margin that we have declared. The second important piece which will also be there is the FCCU, which has to start functioning, will also need some of the VGO, as they call it, as the input which should be available at the time of starting of the FCCU. So that's accumulated. So it, in essence, it is nothing but intermediate. So all those things will not be there once all these units are running. Now, how much that it translates into dollar per barrel, I don't have a ready handle on it. So all that I can say is that once the FCCU is also running, we should be not having these issues of, or we should be having the product slate as was envisaged when the project was, you know, designed. So to that extent, there will be an impact on the margins. What is currently going as I said, intermediates or products like naphtha will come down significantly.
Okay, fair enough. And just one more question. Keeping aside the fact that, you know, the impact of RTP on dynamic pricing, just dynamic pricing for the marketing business, has that resulted in any benefits? Say, for example, almost since June 16th, right, there's almost been a 3.5-4% increase in prices of gasoline and diesel. Just say over the last 3 days, it's been increased by 60 paisa. Is there any opportunity for differential pricing here, or you would say that so far it's only been purely mark-to-market?
See, at this point in time, earlier till June 15th, it was something where the price revisions were happening every fortnight. So under that scenario, we had started doing some work on the differential pricing. Now, since 15th of June, once the daily pricing has come, the whole picture has changed from what it was earlier, where that fortnightly change was happening. So we are now again trying to figure out how best to deal with this daily pricing. So that is something which we are working on. So while there is a case for having differential pricing, but I think we need some more time in this environment of daily change in prices to clearly figure out how we would like to use this dynamic pricing.
Just one last thing then. Then wouldn't being so highly automated as compared to the other two OMCs give you an edge? Would you say that automation makes it easier for you to do so?
Automation, we have about 60% automation, and the idea is to, you know, take the automation close to 100%, 90 to 100% in the coming days. Automation does give us a lot of advantages, especially in a scenario where we change prices, where we will be in a position to push the prices directly from the SAP backend to the pump. So that is something which I'm sure the other players also would be working on. So I don't see that as something which is, making any significant difference, because ultimately everybody will be working towards having 100% automation.
Okay, sir. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Rahul Agarwal from ICICI Prudential. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I just have one question on, can you give us some sense on what kind of impact would GST have in terms of amount and what kind of, how accounting would go about it?
As far as GST is concerned, you know that major products, almost 80 to 90% of it is outside GST. So as far as the, therefore, the issue basically is that we may buy certain material and we would have paid GST, but we cannot get the credit since the output is non-GST product. So we call it a standard taxes. We expect around 1,000 crores for the fiscal year due to the standard taxes under recovery we may have. So we are taking up with all the state governments so that they prevail upon the GST council to include these five products. And similarly, our ministry has also taken up with the finance ministry to include the petroleum, five petroleum products into the GST domain. And we are hopeful that some concrete things will come from the GST council in the months to come.
So FY18 you are saying is 1,000 crores.
Actually, the impact which we estimate for an year is about 1,000 crores, which also includes some component of capital expenditure. The good thing as far as we are concerned is that the IREP project in Kochi is nearing completion, and that's where we would have had a significant impact, but since GST was not there, to that extent we are out of it. As far as the Petchem project which is currently underway, since petrochemicals is in GST, we don't have a concern on that. Only those projects which are directly meant for products which are outside GST, like petrol, diesel and all, there would be an impact on the capital account. Having said that, impact should not be a major problem because we would get the corresponding depreciation. What is left is this 1,000-odd crores that we talk about is on the revenue front, where these taxes would be standard taxes. We have been taking up with the government just to see how we can address it. It's not an issue specifically for one company. It's an issue for the entire sector. So we'll need to wait and see how the issue is addressed by the government.
So just to summarize, you're saying that 1,000 crore is your revenue impacted. Has capex into it, or that capex impact is there into it or not?
No, capex impact I have excluded. As I said, no, in the capex earlier when we were getting the benefit, to that extent depreciation benefit you are not getting. Now, if you are not going to get that as an adjustment, your depreciation benefit would be available. So I am excluding that this 1,000 crores is purely the revenue side of it.
Got it, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Well, that was the last question. I now hand the floor over to Mr. Dhaval Joshi for his closing comments.
Hello?
Yes, Mr. Dhaval Joshi, over to you.
Yeah, I would like to thank the management once again and thank you all for taking out your time.
Thank you, Dhaval. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of MK Global Financial Services, we conclude today's conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.